Welcome to the Spotlight Edition of the Future of Medicine podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Craig Wright. Join me as I have conversations with some of my favorite medical experts discussing a variety of common health questions. I hope you find this useful, empowering you with confidence along your journey toward optimal health. Let's jump right in. Today, I'm joined by Dr. Tyler Brazelton. Dr. Brazelton graduated with a degree in exercise sports science from Tennessee Tech before obtaining his doctorate of physical therapy from Belmont University. He also has a Bachelor of Arts in Spanish from Belmont. He is the owner of Excel Health and Performance in Nashville, Tennessee. There, he uses a variety of therapies, including laser, radial pressure wave, and dry needling, in addition to his skills of manual physical therapy. Dr. Brazelton has certifications as a Titleist Performance Institute golf medical professional and an impact concussion specialist. He sees clients of all ages, from youth sports to professional athletes, as well as your weekend warriors dealing with pain or injury. Join us as we discuss the role of physical therapy, not only in recovery from injury, but also in its value as part of a proactive plan for optimal health. Man, Tyler, thanks for joining me today. I think today's conversation on this podcast is going to be really helpful to our members to better understand what physical therapy is and what kind of role it can provide in their health. So as we dive in today, first off, I just want to introduce you to our audience and tell me a little bit about what led you into physical therapy as a field and career for you.
Yeah, absolutely. So I played baseball at Tennessee Tech for 4 years. And essentially, you know, my first day of practice, I ended up pulling my hamstring. And, you know, anytime you deal with injury, that essentially puts you in the physical therapy kind of cycle as a college athlete. So, you know, along those lines, you know, I spent several years, you know, going in and out of the training room, and you'd be shocked what you can learn from afar just from being an athlete and seeing, you know, not only learning from your own injuries, but also seeing, you know, other injuries in other sports. You know, I was very fortunate to have a really good physical therapist at Tennessee Tech, and he taught me a lot, took me under his wing, and definitely thought that would be something I'd be interested in later on in my career. But, you know, like any athlete has at that point when they have to put those cleats up, you know, you go through a little bit of that identity crisis. So funny story, back after I was done playing, I had a little bit of like, you know, what's the next step? Because, you know, most people have always referred to me by my last name or a number. And that led me to watching the Jason Bourne series one summer. And I was like, oh, that might not be a bad idea to learn a foreign language and, you know, look into the field of, you know, CIA, FBI. Fast forward, I found myself on a plane headed to Spain, working on a degree in Spanish. Then I figured out maybe I don't want to go down that road, and physical therapy may be, you know, a better option for me. And having that, you know, second language helps me, you know, reach an audience that, you know, may not speak, you know, English very well, or would, you know, prefer, you know, speaking in their native language whenever they come in the clinic. And I thought that'd be a good tool to take me, longer in my career field in physical therapy and have a bigger impact.
Man, that's great. Had no idea about that story in your past. I kind of assumed being an athlete led you directly to physical therapy, but you were kind of taking a detour and then came back to it.
Yeah, just sometime. A slight detour.
Well, I've always thought probably being an athlete really helps you connect with some of the people you work with, because you've actually been the one who's been injured and hurt. Do you find that history that you have useful to your clients?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, when you have an injury, you know, it's really tough sometimes, especially in a team setting, because a lot of times you're spending time away from the people that you're, you know, with every day, or let's say, you know, there's, you know, games and things of that nature, road trips, or you have to stay back with, you know, the training staff, and you feel a little bit of isolation, and those things happen. And, you know, I have, you know, some clients that are runners, and anytime they have some things pop up that we have to take some time off from running, that, you know, essentially takes them away from what they love to do, and that, you know, community and that group that they're with, you know, every single day. And that's where I come in and tell them, hey, you know, I've been there, I know what that's like. But, you know, you have a great, you know, group of people around you, and, you know, with time, you know, you'll be back at it before you know it. So my athletic background and going through that process definitely helps me relate to patients.
That's great. Well, and as we talk, we'll definitely get into some of those instances where physical therapy is needed for recovery. But the first thing I want to really ask you, as we get into kind of the thought of how physical therapy looks in terms of a proactive whole body, whole person health plan,
What are some things that just right out of the gate you feel like you wish more people did to protect their physical abilities and bodies? Open-ended there, just one or two things that come to mind that you wish more people would do on their own.
Yeah. You know, I would say the biggest thing is stay moving. I would say the majority of people have desk jobs or some type of job where they're not, you know, moving as much as they like to. And our bodies love movement. And anytime we're not moving, that's when typically things, you know, tighten up on us and we end up having some aches and pains. And, you know, historically, just for example, lower back pain, a lot of lower back pain tends to go away with movement. A lot of people think that it's the opposite. I need to rest and stop doing whatever I'm doing. Well, you're probably resting by being sedentary due to your job at the desk. And so, you know, movement is always one of those things that I would say is just baseline, one of the best advice I can give to someone just from a preventative measure from a physical therapist.
Yeah, that's great advice, because I think people, regardless of where the injury may have occurred, they kind of default to, oh, I need to just relax. I need to rest. I need to not be active. And especially with low back pain, I've personally seen that how increasing my physical activity really helps with that pain.
Right.
And so I had somebody I knew previously, and I forget exactly who it was, or I'd give them credit, but they said that motion is lotion.
Yep.
And I think that's what you were kind of describing right there.
Absolutely.
Is, you know, movement is part of the recovery process.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, you know, movement is what gives our body the ability to recover faster, because, you know, blood starts to circulate more and, you know, just throughout our system. And ultimately that's what helps us get back to doing what we love to do and promotes the healing process. So yeah, motion is lotion. It holds true.
That's great. Well, one thing we've talked casually about before that I want to bring our listeners into is really the thought of having a physical therapy assessment when things are going well.
Yeah.
When there's no perceived pain or injury of much significance of any, what's the role of being connected with someone like yourself to do an assessment to see what could come of that?
Right. So, you know, a lot of times, you know, the assessment aspect basically gives us a, you know, general kind of picture of like where we have, you know, weaknesses throughout the body, where that may not be pain, but depending on what you like to do, whether you're really active, really healthy working out, and you don't have any aches and pains, that doesn't necessarily mean you don't have, your body isn't moving as efficiently as it can be. And so that's where the assessment comes into play. And, you know, with that assessment, it will usually reveal some type of dysfunctional movement pattern. And that dysfunctional movement pattern can set that person up later on to have an injury, you know, whether it's, you know, their mobility in their ankles or mobility in the elbow, but they have no pain or anything of that nature over time. And we neglect it, and, you know, never know we have a deficit somewhere, we run into injury. And so I would say, you know, that is where the assessment plays a huge role. Especially if you're wanting to also elevate, you know, your activities or, you know, be the best you possibly can be. You know, I see a lot of golfers, and a lot of times a lot of the golfers, you know, don't necessarily have any injuries, but there's something going on in their swings that's, you know, causing them to do certain, you know, make certain shots or not have an efficient swing. And that's where an assessment will reveal some type of muscle weakness or mobility problem that can be addressed by physical therapy to, you know, keep them on the course and keep them doing what they love to do.
That's great. You know, one thing that we talk a lot in our practice, our primary care practice, about is just trying to be ahead of the curve and identify problems well before symptoms arise. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what you're describing there with that physical therapy assessment, is a way that we can protect a very vital, important aspect of somebody's health: their physical activities.
Right.
I tell people, you know, getting up out of these chairs, walking stairs, you know, some of the basic activities of life as we age can be challenged if we haven't done the work in our younger days to protect our balance, our flexibility, mobility. And it sounds like that's what an assessment can do, is really identify maybe some areas that if left unaddressed could be challenges down the road.
Right, absolutely. Because, you know, I always tell people the human body is like a supercomputer. You know, if one of the systems within our bodies goes down, you know, it may not necessarily alert us, you know, but, you know, it may, you know, move that problem down to somewhere else. And then over time, maybe another alarm goes off, and that may be the first alarm you actually run into. And but yet you're still able to do what you do. And that's the beauty of the human body. Now, however, eventually, if we keep passing those alarms down to different body parts, something's eventually going to fail. And that's when, you know, if we would have gotten ahead of this early on, we could have saved, you know, a lot of time and preventative measures to prevent the injuries ahead of time.
Absolutely. Yeah. I love that thought of supercomputer. Yeah. You're right. You know, sometimes if you're thinking of processes, there may just be one aspect that doesn't crash the whole system, but it definitely makes the whole system less efficient or effective.
Right.
So we shouldn't ignore our physical bodies when it comes to that.
Yeah, absolutely. By any means.
Next place I want to go, it's kind of connected to what we've talked about, but takes it a little bit deeper in terms of some of the ways that we might address that initial injury. So, you know, when I was in medical school, and I remember when I was young, we were always taught rest, ice, compression, elevation, the RICE therapy.
Right.
And obviously it may depend on where the injury occurs, but is that still a valid initial thought, or are there other ways that someone might want to address an acute injury?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question. So, you know, what we've learned is the RICE method, you know, you can't go wrong with the RICE method. Obviously, you know, you're getting that cold compression, and that definitely helps with the pain. But, you know, as time has gone on and more research has come out, we've actually figured that, you know, ice may not be the best option for the recovery process of getting over an acute injury, because one of the biggest things that is involved in the healing process is having inflammation. So if we decide to ice a certain area, well, that kind of, you know, lowers that those inflammation markers and kind of delays that healing process. But also, from what research tells us, it also destroys muscle cells and can potentially damage nerves. So, you know, I like to take a different approach where I like to say, hey, if you can tolerate some of the pain that you're dealing with acutely, apply heat. Because if you apply heat, that allows the body to kind of flush out, you know, all the damaged cells from the injury, but also promote new blood flow in that area and expedite that process without, you know, running into muscle loss or any type of nerve damage that can potentially happen from ice. And I know that people, you know, they live and die by, you know, the cold plunges for recovery. And it definitely has a place as far as, you know, the mentee aspect of things. But when it comes down to just true recovery, we've learned that, you know, we need that inflammation. You know, we need more blood flow. And that's where the RICE method has kind of evolved and changed and started to transition more to, you know, other methods such as, you know, a general hot pack, or, you know, where the technology and physical therapy has advanced, you know, high powered laser therapy, you know, which we'll definitely have to talk about here in a second for everybody that's listening in.
Yeah. Yeah. You already know I'm ignorant when it comes to that. So you just blew my mind. You mentioned laser.
Yes.
Let's go ahead and dive into this, because you've told me in our conversations about some of the therapies that are available beyond what might be considered traditional physical therapy, you know, going beyond just manual hands-on, which is so valuable.
Yep.
But now there's all these new advancing technologies. Tell me a little bit about what you're passionate about and where it could be useful for some of our listeners.
Right. So one of the things that I have in my clinic is a high-powered laser by Light Force. It's a 40-watt laser. And essentially what it is ultra-concentrated sunlight that is sent inside the area that we're treating. And if we like to think of our cells as batteries, that energy from that sunlight recharges those batteries. And while it recharges those batteries, that flushes out, you know, all the bad cells that, you know, we need to get rid of, all the junk, but also it reduces the inflammation. It blocks the pain signals due to its special, you know, abilities, and allows for the fastest recovery that we possibly can do within, you know, ethically. And it's, you know, pain-free. It just feels like heat, which is, you know, it's very soothing for the clients that use it. I would say it's probably everybody's favorite thing is using the high-power laser. And it can be used pretty much anywhere on the body, except for like the eyes and face, where, you know, we wouldn't want to have sunlight there. But overall, there's, you know, there's it can pretty much be used for anything and everything. I would say a lot, the things that I use it the most with are anything that are like tendonitis in the knee, elbow, where there's not a lot of blood flow, where I can get even more blood flow by using that high power laser. And it's also going to block those pain signals. So not only are you going to get the benefits of, you know, that healing process from the energy in the laser, you're also going to come out feeling much better because of those pain signals being blocked to within a reasonable manner. So you're not, you know, going out there doing way more than your body's ready for. So, you know, we've had, you know, for example, some of the baseball players, professional athletes that I see during their off-season training, if they come and see me, you know, with a blister, primarily the pitchers, in the first thing in the morning, I'll laser their finger in the first thing in the morning, midday, and in the afternoon, and usually by that next day, that blister's completely healed. That's how well wow. that the high-powered laser works. And, you know, I'm blessed to have that a part of my practice, and it's impacted a lot of people that I've been blessed to work with.
That's great. Well, and so fast. Yeah, you know, I mean, and yeah. that's obviously something you can kind of physically see, but then some of the injuries that you think being deeper, if you can get that same kind of response from laser therapy, quicker healing,
yep,
quicker back to play, back to feel, back to whatever they may want to be involved in. That's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible. And it has several different attachments, which even makes it even better. So we have like a rolling pin for the quad and the back, so you can kind of get more of a therapeutic massage while we're doing the laser, and it really kind of makes the patient feel even more at ease because they feel that heat penetrating deep inside their bodies.
Wow.
And they feel it even hours after, you know, our session. It's made a huge difference in physical therapy and a huge difference in, you know, people's recovery overall. So I'm glad that we've been able to really advance technology and learn more about what we can do, what we can't do. But I would say the high power laser is one of the best things that I'm able to use in my clinic.
What other type of techniques or therapies do you offer? Yeah. Other than manual therapy that we'll get to.
Yeah. So one of the things that I love to use with you know, all my clients is it's called blood flow restriction training. So essentially what blood flow restriction is, it is it occludes, it's like a blood pressure cuff. You know, you put it on the arm or the leg, depending on what body part you were working on, and it occludes a certain percent of blood, you know, from that body part. Well, the brain doesn't know that the body is now going under a lot of stress. You know, as we know, you know, there's oxygen in our blood, and we need that oxygen in order for the muscles to, you know, contract and, you know, do their job. Well, if you're not using blood flow restriction and you're lifting a lot of weight, your body has that same response. But in this case, we're able to do the same type of workouts and stress the body without overstressing it because of the lack of oxygen and a lack of blood flow that's going to that body part, such as your legs. So for an example, if someone's coming to see me and they're having, you know, some knee pain and we're really needing to, you know, really load them up, but not overload them, that's where blood flow restriction training comes in handy and has a tremendous impact on the patient and the results. Because the brain can only tell, you know, what's going on from the inside, but it has no idea what's actually going outside the body. It's getting signals that is that your body's under a lot of stress. Well, in all reality, it's really just a lack of blood flow. So your brain's going to send all the growth hormones, or as I like to say, all the troops to the area to help build muscle and build you up without actually causing too much damage to the tissue or overstress the tissue. So it's almost like an anti-aging form of working out these days, because you don't have to, you know, put a lot of weight on your body to stress your knees or stress your elbows. And it's, you know, it's been proven to be safe. You know, obviously I would, you know, recommend only doing that under the guidance of a supervision of a medical professional, but it has had a tremendous impact on, all ages and, you know, all different demographics, whether it's post-op or, you know, someone that's just trying to, you know, get over the hump, over their injury that they've been dealing with for a while without losing any muscle.
That's great. I talk a lot in my conversations with patients on creating the appropriate environment for our bodies to heal themselves, to recover, to restore. And that seems like a really great technique that comes right alongside that, where you actually, through this method, ask your body to send those cells, like you said, the troops to go there to heal, recover, restore in a very quick and efficient matter, really. Yeah. That's great.
With, you know, sometimes all we need is body weight. And yeah. you wouldn't think, you know, oh, this is easy, this is easy. But after that first set, we hit the second set, like, oh, wow, something's happening. And if you're noticing something happening, then you guarantee your brain is noticing something's happening. Yeah. And so that's where it really comes in handy for all ages. So that's probably one of the most used techniques that I incorporate a part of anybody's therapeutic treatment.
I assume there's probably different protocols for how to implement that therapy based on where the injury or challenge may occur.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So in the lower body, we include 80% of blood flow. In the upper body is 50%. Now, there is ways we can kind of get the patient to kind of adapt to those stresses because it can seem a little uncomfortable at first. Mm-hmm. And so let's say, you know, lower body wise, we'll start off on 60 this week. Just to kind of get you used to it. Or another option is let's lift the weights without the blood flow restriction on, but as soon as you're taking a rest break, we'll turn it on so that you can trick the body in that way. Eventually, once you get used to that sensation, get it to the point where you're actually exercising with the blood flow restriction on, then taking your rest breaks with the blood flow restriction off.
Okay, nice. Tell me a little bit about dry needling. You know, that was new to me when I came out of my residency training a little over a decade ago now. So it's been around for a long time. But tell me about what role that provides to patients and maybe even how we've learned more in the last decade of its usefulness.
Yeah, absolutely. So with dry needling, it's been around, you know, for ages. It is from just the technique standpoint, it is exactly like acupuncture. Now, the only difference is in acupuncture, you know, they follow a certain guideline onto where to place the needles. And, you know, they put a whole bunch of needles in you and you get a positive response. As a physical therapist, you know, we approach it a little bit differently. So we always like to, you know, assess the patient and do it like a pretest. So we have something to, you know, base our, you know, our outcomes on to say, oh, did this work? Did this not work? And so that helps guide our treatment going forward. So it's the same needle as acupuncture needle. Mm. And anytime we have a muscle that's injured or dysfunctional, or we're having a lot of pain and discomfort, typically what that muscle looks like under a microscope is like a ball of hair. And if you think about the dry needle is like a comb. Our muscles work best when the muscle fibers are in a straight line, just like straight hair. Mm-hmm. And so once we find where the needle needs to be placed, we introduce the needle to that area that combs out that area where it's kind of knotted up. We call a trigger point, and that straightens out those fibers. And it also elicits an inflammatory response, which is that first stage of healing, like we had mentioned earlier, as well as it increases blood flow. So it's a great way that, you know, we utilize, you know, dry needling to help our patients reduce their pain, but also improve their function due to the technique. And even in other times, we'll apply, you know, electrical stimulation to it to get even more benefits where that can help block the pain signals and also cause awareness to the brain that, hey, there's something going on here because, you know, our bodies are always run on a little bit of like electricity. So if I have you hooked up to a electrical stimulation machine, your brain's going to pick up a signal from somewhere else and it wants to find out where that signal's coming from. And just like we said, you know, we got to send the troops somewhere. Well, the brain's also going to want to figure out, all right, what's going on there? Let's send the troops there. Oh, it's a great place. Let's clean it up in this area. And it helps patients, you know, get back to function. It's pretty immediate as well. So I had great success stories using dry needling.
Great. You know, a lot of these techniques just kind of point us back toward the role of positive inflammation.
Yeah.
You know, I think, you know, sometimes when we say inflammation, we automatically think of like anti-inflammatories, right, like the over-the-counter Aleve and Advils and such. But there's such importance in that inflammation response. And whether you're achieving it through heat or dry needles or laser, it is encouraging your body to do what it was created to do. So
yeah,
heal. Exactly. That's amazing.
Heal.
Any other therapies or techniques that you're passionate about using in your practice?
So an alternate to dry needling, one of my favorite machines that I use is called a radial pulse wave machine. And essentially what the radial pulse wave machine is, it's a dry needling form in a machine. So it creates these waves through this transducer, and you put ultrasound gel down so the waves can be created, and it breaks up the tissue, it introduces a little bit of an inflammatory response, increases the blood flow. And you know, typically I usually will use that machine on patients who either have a fear of needles, or if, you know, from a clinical decision making process, I decide that placing a needle in this specific area may be either too painful or just too risky. You know, a lot of patients have, you know, mid back pain, or in you know, from just sitting at a desk for a long period of time. Well, you know, if I'm weighing my pros and cons, it's probably not the best idea for me to, you know, place a needle near someone's lungs or in the area of a lung. But I can use a radial pulse wave machine that can do the same thing as dry needling without having to worry about, you know, having any type of adverse side effects from puncturing a lung.
Wow.
And it has, you know, it's a great tool as well for diagnostics, because if you don't have a area on your body where I'm using the radial pulse wave machine, you probably won't feel much. And so that lets us know, okay, this is not the area we need to be treating. But if I move it to another area where we actually need to be treating, we will get that response either from the muscle itself twitching, which, you know, lets me know, all right, we're definitely in the right spot, or the patient themselves will say, oh, that feels different, that feels dull and achy, and that lets us know for sure we're in the right area, and we're able to assess, just like, you know, with the dry needling, let's see how we're doing after that. And I'd say, you know, it's pretty incredible the positive outcomes and how quickly patients' responses are after using that radial pulse wave machine.
Wow. That's great. Man, you're really educating me today, because, you know, when I refer out to you or to some other physical therapist, I just trust that their knowledge and your expertise is going to take over and advance their care. And these are areas where I am so ignorant. So thanks for teaching me about this.
Yeah, absolutely.
When we talk to our members, we talk to them a lot about building their team around them. And I think it makes sense in life. We kind of have our financial team, you know, people we rely on to help guide us in what we should and shouldn't do. We have our community, our friends, our family. We have so many teams in life. And from a health standpoint, a primary care standpoint, physical therapy has such a huge role in being right alongside that. Whether injury or for prevention. How should someone go through the thoughts of selecting the person to work with? Yeah. So I want to give you a chance to kind of maybe brag on yourself and brag on your colleagues who you feel like are the people that should be chosen as that vital team member that can really add value to that person's care.
Yeah, absolutely. So I would say, you know, the biggest thing is, you know, what are you dealing with? And, you know, once you know what you're dealing with, then that's when you can search out to find, all right, who in, you know, this city or wherever I'm at is a specialist in that particular field.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was very fortunate to learn under some of the best physical therapists when it comes to hip. Over at TOA at the Hip Institute under Dr. Bird and my mentor, Ashley Campbell. And it was, you know, all we saw were hips. And that is a very, you know, I was very fortunate to have that opportunity, because that's just not something you get to have as a student, is you see that body part, because it is so complex. It's like, you know, the hip and the back, they're so interconnected. It's like, you know, which one came first, the chicken or the egg? And that's where, you know, having a specialist like that, that really has a deep understanding of that particular body part, can help, you know, with those outcomes being as positive as they possibly can be. And, you know, that's, I would say, from a baseline perspective, just looking and trying to figure out, right, who are the specialists, like, what are they known for? And then asking, you know, those questions. You know, like for myself, you know, I'm very fortunate that I had that experience from the Hip Institute, but also because I played baseball, I had, you know, that my experience with shoulders, elbows, which, you know, are mirror images to the lower body, hip and knee. So, you know, it's really looking at, you know, their background and, you know, what they're known for and what experience they've had, and that, mm-hmm. that can kind of guide you on the right path. And, you know, I'll say, you know, a lot of therapists, at least, you know, ones that really truly care about the patient, if they know someone that is a better fit, then that therapist will refer them to that person to treat, which I think that more of that needs to be done just for, you know, for the patient themselves and not, you know, for the ego of the therapist.
Yeah.
That if you're not comfortable doing something, or, you know, maybe you haven't had a lot of reps in that, just go ahead and refer out to someone that you know and can give that patient their information and set them up with that specialist so that, you know, you do what's right by them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's important to recognize what somebody can do, but how willing are they to accept what they can't
right.
do and can't offer? That's a great thought. I want to talk about a couple of areas that you have some special interest in training in around the Titleist golf mm-hmm. involvement as a medical professional, and then in the concussion realm. So let's start with the Titleist golf. Tell me about that, and how can maybe our members utilize your training in their golf game?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, circling back to the Hip Institute and Belmont University, under our curriculum, we were kind of introduced to the Titleist Performance Institute to a baseline level. Once I graduated, I decided, you know, I want to learn a little bit more about how I can help people that play golf, which I'll say a majority of us love to play golf. You know, I mean, we like to be better, but, you know, you know, that's what we got to work on, those things. And that's where, you know, the Titleist Performance Institute has their own assessment that I utilize with my golfers that helps me identify where they may be having certain flaws it physically that will correlate to like common swing, faulty swing patterns, such as, you know, coming over the top. I know we all have had that, you know, terrible slice where we hit the ball and we want to go straight, but it goes about 250 yards to the right. Well, a lot of those times, you know, there is a component of, yes, we need a coach to come in and, you know, fix the swing, but you also probably need someone on the medical side, which is where I come in, to kind of compound what you're working on with the coach and me identify where are those weaknesses that are causing you to have those problems in your swing, not only so that it translates over to the coach that you're working with on whatever drills that you're working with, but also from a preventative measure. Because a lot of times, because of the violent swing of a golf club, if you have some type of imbalance or muscle imbalance and you're not, you know, using your body correctly, you run into some pretty bad injuries in the lower back and in your hips and even your arms. You know, that's why, you know, golfer's elbow.
Yeah.
And a lot of those things we can kind of get ahead of with the Titleist Performance Institute assessment, and which will kind of show me, all right, this is what's going on. This is also most like what's going on with your swing, and usually agree like, oh, how'd you know that? I'm like, well, you know, that's the beauty of the Titleist program, is it also educates, you know, myself on the language and understanding the golf swing as a whole, so I'm able to communicate that in, you know, patient's language on how we can work on this from a physical standpoint and communicate that information also with their golf pro. So at my facility at Excella Performance, I have a golf simulator room that I will use with my golfers so that if we need to take those numbers and work on something for, you know, 45 minutes physically, spend the last 15 minutes hitting the golf ball, we can see those changes as far as, you know, where there's club head speed, the path, are you coming in, out, or out to in, and then get that data, and we can take that and have that sent to their golf pro so that we can all right, we're on the same page, this looks good, they're improving here, and I can communicate that, you know, with all parties involved. And that way we can, you know, ultimately save a ton of money in already an expensive sport. So it's an absolutely incredible assessment and a tool that, you know, I've utilized with, you know, myself and many other golfers. And we've had, you know, one of my clients, he worked with him for about 2 years now, and we incorporated some of the Titleist things that I learned. And he went from shooting roughly 81, 82 with some discomfort in his swing to shooting 72 to 75 with no discomfort.
There you go.
He's swinging better than he ever has in his life. So just, you know, working on those things and finding those small parts of the body that need a little strengthening can go a long way.
Wow. You knew I was going to ask how many shots you could save. So that gives me a frame of reference here. I like it. Well, I've always thought, with my golf swing, I've always thought, well, it's just a lack of skill. And it is.
Right.
But to know that, you know, it makes sense to think that there could be some musculoskeletal deficit that could even compound the problem. So it's not all in just the path and the skill. It could be in actually how your body is currently moving.
Exactly.
And that's, or not moving.
Right. And that's where, you know, as physical therapists, we're known as movement specialists.
Yeah.
And, you know, we teach people how to move and how to move efficiently. Mm-hmm. You know, if your golf swing is, you know, if your movements are inefficient, well, your golf swing is most likely going to be inefficient.
Yeah.
So if we can work on improving your movement and make your movements more efficient, then translating that over to your golf swing, well, then now you get the best of both worlds. Now you're moving more efficiently, and your golf swing is more efficient, you know, because everybody has different types of swings. And I think we all agree upon that. But we all have an efficient swing. And that's what's most important, is having an efficient swing that's repeatable. And that's what ultimately is how we, you know, create good shots and also keep ourselves away from injury.
Man, interesting. Tell me about your role and physical therapy's role in concussion treatment and kind of the return to play guidelines. We at our practice, we have a lot of either members or children of members who are involved in hockey or football or soccer, some of those high risk head injury sports. So tell me about your training and some of the ways that you could be involved in knowing when to return them to the playing field.
And so, you know, with concussions, you know, concussions can be really complex and they can show up in a variety of ways. And as a physical therapist that's certified in concussion protocols, you know, that allows me to not only educate the parent on what to look out for as far as symptoms or, you know, what is normal, what's not normal, but also give them the education on, okay, this is when they should be returning back to at least the school setting. And if, you know, a certain amount of time goes by in the school setting, they're still having those symptoms, that's when, you know, I step in even more. And that's when we come in, do treatment, and we work on how can we, you know, lower those symptoms and increase, you know, maybe decrease the vestibular system that can be, you know, disrupted due to a head trauma. And that's where, you know, I'd say the physical therapist role plays a huge play in, you know, the high school setting, college setting, you know, and to a certain extent, you know, professional setting. I know we all have seen the rise of concussions in the NFL and all the preventative things they've tried to do there, from having, you know, independent neurologists step in. But, you know, not everybody has that. You know, when you're in high school and middle school and you have kids, well, you're not going to have a neuro consult at every single one of your games. So it's always great to have and have a physical therapist and know a physical therapist that, you know, has that background with concussions, because of just how damaging that is to our brain. You know, we only get so many brain cells, and our brain is, you know, essentially how we're able to do everything that, you know, in life. And, you know, we got to protect that. And also we got to, you know, be mindful of how quickly we return to that sport, so we don't have another, you know, concussion early on, or, you know, exacerbate that concussion that may not have been ready to return to sport. And then boom, now we've taken like 10, 20 steps back and, you know, potentially cause even further damage to the brain.
Yeah. Well, I think that circles us back to like building that team around the family or the individual who needs that trusted voice to guide them in their recovery process. And whether it's an injury or a concussion, building that team is so crucial. And place I want to land right now is just tell me a little more about Excel Health and Performance and how our listeners can connect with you and the work you're doing here in Nashville.
Yeah, absolutely. So Excel the Performance is a physical therapy and a training practice. We're located inside of Get Fit Anytime, inside of a privately owned gym which I've been fortunate to have moved into. Mm. We are one-on-one with our clients. So you will always be matched with the same physical therapist so that we can keep that consistency and create that rapport with the clients and the patients. But, you know, also it allows us to, you know, allow the patient to feel more comfortable that they're not just being, you know, passed around. That can happen in certain settings. That's just the nature of the setting. But, you know, Excel Performance, you know, we really thrive ourselves on, you know, doing what's best for the patient, you know, making plans that are specific for what they need and not what, you know, the general public may need for that injury. And we pride ourselves in that. And, you know, we try to stay on top of the research, stay on top of the technology, so that we can offer the best that you can get, you know, just like the high power laser. That's, you know, one of the few things that you may only be able to see inside of a professional athlete's stadium in their training rooms, you know. But, you know, I've been fortunate enough to have that a part of my practice, as well as a anti-gravity treadmill, which has allowed individuals to run for the first time in, you know, 40 years, 30 years without having any aches or pains. So, you know, it's an absolutely amazing practice. You know, we really, truly care about our patients and, you know, that one-on-one, kind of relationship between the patient and the therapist, it goes a long way because, you know, that therapist will know more about that patient than, you know, anybody else will.
Yeah.
And just that one-on-one, you know, you're focused 100% on that person and not 90% on that person, 10% on someone else. So, you know, we also offer, you know, IV therapies, whether it's for recovery, from, you know, the hot summer, because I know a lot of people are gonna be outside here, you know, it's Nashville, Music City, and sometimes you need to get those fluids back in you that, you know, maybe you're not, you know, drink enough water to do that. So we offer that and you know, a variety of other different types of IV solutions. And I would say the best way that you can get in touch with Excel Performance is going to our website at www.excelhp.com. And that will take you to our page and give you even more information about our practice and some of the other things that we do.
That's great. You do amazing work. I know all of my patients who have seen you just rave about you. Within a visit, you might increase their range of motion or their mobility or decrease their pain. And that's just after one visit. And they usually call or text me and are just raving about it. And I'm like, well, just stick with him and the sky's the limit. So, well, Tyler, thanks for joining me for this conversation. I think it was really helpful to shine a light on how valuable physical therapy is in a complete health plan. So thanks for your time.
Oh, thanks. Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Absolutely. I want to thank you for listening to this conversation. I truly hope you found it useful. You can find out more about today's episode and discover additional content at BrentwoodMD.com/podcast. If you haven't subscribed, please do so. We would be honored if you would leave a review or even a recommendation for a future conversation you would like to hear. If you would like to learn more about the concierge services that we provide at Brentwood MD, email us at membership@BrentwoodMD.com. We'd love to meet you. This podcast was for general information only and does not constitute the practice of medicine or giving of medical advice, as no doctor-patient relationship has been formed. The content of this podcast is not intended to substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Listeners should seek the advice of their own trusted medical professionals.